Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so glad that you will join me on today. So I want you to grab your Bibles and come right on in and make yourself right at home here at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I pray that your day has been filled with nothing but the blessings of the Lord that will make you rich and add no sorrow. So on today, our lesson is going to be the miracle of Pentecost, and it's going to be found over in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and then also verses 12 through 16. And so as we get ready to pray, let's gather our hearts and minds. Gracious Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We ask, oh God, that you meet us on this line. We bind the emissary of the adversary, Lord, that would come against, Lord, everything that you would do, Father, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare and decree your sovereign and your holy will to be done. Lord, let your word have precourse. And let it have preeminent, let it exact that word in which it is due on this day. And God, we thank you, O God, manifest your glory, and we'll give you praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So again, today's our lesson is going to be found over in Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 8, and it reads on this line. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues at like as a fire, and it stood upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which spake Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And it reads on, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, our thought for today will be the miracle that God will fill believers with the Holy Ghost was promised by the prophets and Jesus. What God did for them, he is still doing today for those who believe. Let's look further. In his book, Gift of the Spirit, introduced in England in 1934, Harold Horton set a beautiful description of the term miracle. He wrote, through carelessness of thought and causelessness in scripture examination, much myths have gathered around the really very precise word miracle. The very richness and resilience of English language was helped in to increase the intensity of this myth. Miracle is a word used to denote the non-natural, beyond natural, supernatural order of things. A miracle, therefore, is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order and interruption of the system of nature as we know it. Now, in this lesson, we shall examine one of the greatest miracles ever experienced by humankind, individual receiving the Holy Spirit of God, which is accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This experience is both miraculous and available. God still is giving this wonderful gift to those who will receive it. Now let's look at Pentecost, the promise. When God makes a promise, he is faithful to deliver that promise. The Lord himself stated, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as faithful witness in heaven." Selah. And you'll find it over in Psalms 89, verses 34 to 37. Now, the Old Testament is replete with references relative to the coming outpour of the Holy Ghost. For example, the Lord promised through the prophet Ezekiel, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony hearts out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and you shall keep my judgment and do them." Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. The Lord made these assurance of the Spirit indwelling more than 600 years before the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. Now let's look here. Prophesied by Old Testament prophet. God first gave his commandment written on the tables of stone to his servant Moses, but he did not plan for his word to exit only in the cold, hard stone of a cherished tablet. He knew that the people were not able to keep the commandments until they had been written in their hearts. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 33 states, "Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and will walk with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their father in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was in husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with their house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, how would the Lord accomplish the task of writing on the heart of mankind the precepts of his word? He will fulfill his promise by pouring out his spirit upon the hearts of individuals who hungered for him. More than 800 years before the day of Pentecost, the prophet Joel powerfully declared, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision, and also upon the servant and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit." Joel 2, verses 28 to 29. Isaiah further clarified this promise of the coming Spirit when he stated, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people," and to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. Let's look at the promise by John the Baptist. Now, after 700 years with the arrival of this on the scene of the Jewish history, John the Baptist predicted, amen, the appearance with the blueprint of the divine revelation on Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Now, John was the voice of one who was crying out in the wilderness of Judea, preparing the way for the Lord to appear as the Messiah. In the fulfillment of Isaiah prophecy, John the Baptist cried out to the multitude that came to hear him when he was baptizing in Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the mountain, from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruit, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that the God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Now, John the Baptist predicted that the Holy Ghost was coming. Through John, the Spirit ultimately revealed that John's cousin, Jesus Christ, was the long-awaited Messiah, the Lamb of God. Further, Jesus was the one who would depart and return to the believers as the Holy Ghost. Let's look at the promise by Jesus. Throughout the times of Christ's ministry on earth, he often promised the coming of the Spirit. He who was the product of the conception by the Holy Ghost, Luke 1:20, actually was God in bodily form. Matthew 1:23. For this reason, Jesus emphatically stated that he first had to depart before the Holy Ghost could come to the disciple. And you'll find that over in John 16:7, which read, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, the scripture records Jesus preparing his disciples for the coming of the Holy Ghost on the number of the other occasion as well. Jesus reminded his followers of the coming promise of the Spirit one final time prior to his ascension into heaven. You'll find that over in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Let's look at Pentecost, the newest birth. Sadly, many Christians today have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. They attempted to weaken and cheapen it by misusing and misapplying this truth. Fortunately, nothing can change or destroy the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40:8 said, The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, because of distorted presentation of the gospel, many people in our day have ascribed to the idea of easy believism. In other words, they wrongly believe that all person has to be, is to achieve salvation, is to believe on Jesus Christ. What they fail to comprehend is that is what true belief requires of them. If they truly believe on Christ, they naturally would embrace and obey all of his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beliefs necessitate obedient action. The salvation message also includes genuine repentance and obedience as well. It is impossible to preach the truth of Jesus Christ and the Pentecostal experience without the cross. Christ's sacrifice sacrificial death on the cross both atoned for our sins and made possible the new birth experience? Let's look at the water and the Spirit. Now, the birth of the baby requires the presence of water, blood, and Spirit. Otherwise, the baby will go awry and the child will be stillborn. Jesus also revealed the essential natural nature of these essential elements to the new birth, the spiritual birth of a person. In the shadow of the night, in John chapter number 3, a Jewish ruler made his secretive approach to Jesus with a powerful mission. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him," John 3 and 2. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, a leader and a ruler and the Pharisee, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," John 3 and 3. Now, Nicodemus revealed the amusement, his amusement, and he asked, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You'll find it over in John 3 and 4. John 3, 4 and 3, verses number 5 through 7 say, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of a spirit, he cannot enter into his father's, into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Now, the birth of water and of the Spirit is mandatory for salvation. A person can be saved only through the new birth as described and commanded by Jesus Christ himself. Being born again according to the scripture is absolutely essential for entering into the kingdom of God. No person is saved without it. No person have a choice with regards to his first birth, which was physical. However, every individual has a choice regarding his second birth, which is spiritual. When a person studies the dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus regarding the necessity of the new birth by the Spirit, it is interesting that many people elevate only one verse from the entire scripture or conversation, John 3:16, which is a beautiful verse, have become one of the most quoted and beloved verses of the Bible. It alone fails to describe what's necessary to receive redemption from sin. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In admiring the beauty of John 3:16, it's vital that one not miss the exacting edge of Jesus' mandate in John 3:5. If we are to be saved, we must believe, but if we believe, we must also obey the entire chapter and experience the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Now, John spoke of this vital spiritual experience prior to his becoming available. In John 7, verse 37 to 39, it said, "In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Further, let's look. According to the word of Jesus, when the people truly believed on him according to the scripture, they will receive the personal Pentecost. In other words, they will receive the Holy Ghost. Following the initial outpour of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached his first message regarding Jesus Christ and the cross. At the conclusion of his message, the crowd eagerly questioned, "What shall we do?" Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38, Peter's declaration was possibly the most coincide expression in Scripture of what comprised the new birth experience, the birth of water and of the Spirit. Now let's take a look at another critical point is the tongues and the evidence. There once was a time when in which many people within the larger Christian community quarrel over the matters of speaking with other tongues. Many continue to oppose the practice. However, today there are also are many independent, non-denominational, and charismatic assemblies in addition to Pentecost that embrace the idea of being filled, Spirit-filled, and even accept speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance as the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. Many people have come to understand the biblical truths of the spiritual practice within the church. When an individual receives the Holy Ghost, he or she will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. It is not something a person has to seek or something he does. It is something the Spirit initiates upon the person initially receiving the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus first brought the new birth to about 120 Jews who were patiently waiting in the upper room of Jerusalem. Jesus has commanded them to return to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father, Luke 24:49. As they were obediently awaiting the promise of God, the Holy Ghost came upon them suddenly. The experience that came to the waiting believers in the upper room was the miracle of Pentecost. And you can read that, and I will read that in your hearing. And that's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, further, it is not a one-time event. It is the beginning of the church. And every believer since that initial evidence and event has spoken with other tongues at the moment of a experiencing the new birth. Now, what a magnificent demonstration of the Holy Ghost power appearing to all the visiting Jews who have came to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. On that memorable occasion, many individuals was amazed to witness the supernatural outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the believers. Seeing and hearing the miracle of Pentecost drew many to join with the early church and the early disciples. And that very day, about 3,000 souls were added to the fledgling New Birth of Church, New Temple Testament. Jesus never made an issue out of speaking with other tongues. Rather, he simply told his followers to return to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. They knew nothing about the matter of speaking with other tongues other than what was written by the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 28, verses 11 to 12. Jesus did not make the matter of speaking with tongue an issue because it was just a normal through supernatural accompaniment of the Holy Ghost experience. A person does not seek to speak with tongues. Rather, he seeks to receive the Holy Ghost. When he received the Spirit, he will speak with other tongues as a result. When we read through the New Testament, we recognize that speaking with other tongues when receiving the Holy Ghost is a continued phenomenon of the new birth. More biblical evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance are found throughout the New Testament. For example, Acts 8, verse 17 through 18, Acts 10, verses 44 to 46, Acts 19, verses 5 through 6. Acts 8 relates the story of Philip, Peter, and John taking the gospel to Samaria. Many people believe the preaching of Philip and were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. However, they may not have received the Holy Ghost. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed the believer would receive the Holy Spirit. And when they laid their hands on them and prayed, they received the Spirit. Acts 8, verses 14 to 17. Although the scripture does not specifically state what happened when the people received the Holy Ghost, it was clearly evidenced when Simon the sorcerer witnessed the Samaritan receiving the Holy Ghost. He offered money to who had the power to lay hands on the people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. Obviously, a dramatic and a pronounced sign that the believers have received the Spirit accompanied its arrival. Evidently, they spoke with other tongues, as did all the other New Testament believers upon receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 20 says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on the hand, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hand, he will receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.'" Acts 10, verses 45 and 46. "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God." Now, the Apostle Paul added another dimension to the subject of the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues upon receiving the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, Paul discovered in Ephesians certain disciples of John the Baptist who he asked, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." That's Acts 19 and chapter 2, verse 2. Paul explained to these honest-hearted individuals that John's baptism was good and appropriate for its season, but it had only introduced individuals to the coming new birth experience. He preached that they would need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Further, after they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that he laid his hand on them, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as promised. And that's Acts chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now let's look at the Holy Ghost today. In the fascinating and noteworthy to, it is fascinating and noteworthy to behold the fulfillment of the scripture for these last days as we witness the mighty outpour of the Holy Ghost worldwide. Through his word, the Lord has spoken prophetically of the outpouring of his Spirit in the last day, and no man can thwart that or abort it or prevent it. His word is unfolding before our very own eyes as he pour out his Spirit for this world. Now these signs shall follow the believers, Mark 16 and 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues." The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of speaking with other tongues. Further, Jesus Christ endorsed the matter of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Paul also testified of often speaking with other tongues. Clearly, speaking with other tongues had a significant place in the early church, and the significance continues today. Now, let's look at the promise to our children. The promise of receiving the Holy Ghost was not only for the apostle. It was not only for the early believers or gathered on the day of Pentecost. The promise of the Spirit is to all who believe, all generations and nations. Acts 2, verses 38 to 39. "Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" Now, children and young people all over the world are receiving the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Children's crusade, youth camp, and convention, many are experiencing the new birth according to the New Testament scripture. The Lord has given his Spirit to all who believe and obey his command. All who will genuinely respond to him in faith, repent of their sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Believers are receiving the same experience as we proclaimed by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In my conclusion on today, according to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus in John 3, the miracle of the new birth is an astonishing experience available to who will believe. When any person, regardless of age, gender, repent of their sins and is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, he will be gloriously and wonderfully filled with the Holy Ghost. Further, he will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gives utterance, for this is the initial evidence of receiving the Spirit. This glorious experience is both a miracle of divine transformation and a divine injunction, for the Lord himself stated that it is a mandatory for salvation, for the entrance into the kingdom of God. Child of God, I pray that you have gained a wonderful understanding of the plan of salvation. Yes, we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. Child of God, this promise is unto us and to our children and to our children's children. And this is so vital for us to have. It's important and expedient that we seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and soul, that we be found of him, and not only be found of him, but we strive until we get everything that he has for us as the children of the Most High God. Yes, it's important to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's important to be filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, as the Spirit of the Lord do give utterance. Research your scripture. Look into the word of the Lord. Look well into the matter and read the scripture. Ask God, invite him to open up your understanding that you may get a clear understanding of his plan, his will, his way for the people of God. And so, children of God, until we meet again, miraculous miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost is still yet happening to whosoever will. Let them come. May God bless you. Until we meet again, encourage someone to come and listen. And if you can, if you'd like to, you can archive and listen to some of the lessons that have already transpired. I know you'll be greatly and tremendously blessed. We've been on the show, been on the air for going on. Next year it will be 10 years. And so on December the 7th of this year, we're going to be celebrating our ninth year of being on the air. I thank God. He is such a good God. He is a right now God. So you be encouraged. Invite someone or go back and archive and enjoy some of the wonderful word of the Lord. As I always say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you according to Matthew 7:7. I pray that there be no sorrow or blessing that come to your house and that everything that you need will be provided for, because that's the God that we serve. He's able to do all things but fail. Till we meet again, bye-bye.